So let's start. So the Maharal in Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, so he explains the significance of the hearing of the shofar at Har Sinai, and Maharal explains that the reason why a shofar was blast was heard at Har Sinai was in order to bring Har Sinai from potential into reality. And he explains that the significance of the shofar in general is that it has the ability to take something in potential and to turn it into a reality. So let's try to understand the words of Maharal, that the shofar has the capability of turning something which is potential and making it into something concrete. So the simple understanding, first of all, what he means by Har Sinai, that the shofar turned the potential of Har Sinai into a reality, is that Torah before Har Sinai was only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. When he gave it to us, he made it something that we were able to comprehend, or was relatable to us. So originally, Torah was just something in potential. It wasn't shaykh for Bnei Adam before Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, Hashem gave it to us, and therefore it became something that was a reality, physical reality in this world. So that's what the Maharal means when it comes to Matan Torah, that we heard the shofar, that the shofar brought Torah and made it into a concrete reality. But let's try to understand, though, the significance of shofar and Har Sinai and Rosh Hashanah. How is shofar and Rosh Hashanah turning the... what reality is being turned by the mitzvah of shofar? So let's try to understand this. So to understand this, we'll cite the Akedah in the Gering Parshas Mitzorah, and the Maharal explains this throughout his commentary. He explains that there's two types of speech. There's Dibur Pnimi and Dibur Chitzoni. So Dibur Pnimi, Dibur Chitzoni is the speech that animals have. It's an external speech. It's not something that's reflective of a person's thoughts. Whereas Dibur Pnimi is the speech that is unique to human beings, which is a speech that is reflected by a person thinking about specific events and then putting them into thoughts. So meaning like this, right? When an animal could walk in the street and stub its toe, scream out. Right? So that's one element of speech. But a human being is able to put a lot of different thoughts together and to come up with something, say something as a result. That is reflective of the fact that human being speech is much more just a direct reaction to something that occurred, but is an expression of human being's thoughts. So when it comes to the shofar, what the shofar is doing, according to the Maharal, the Maharal says the shofar is doing, the shofar is turning the potential of the Malchus Hashem, is creating a reality out of it. The Torah says that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, and the differentiating factor between Adam HaRishon and any other being was that the fact that Adam HaRishon had the Koyach HaDibur. He is Ruach Mamala, he is able to speak. So on Rosh Hashanah, what we're essentially doing is we're using the shofar as our Koyach HaDibur in order to express Hashem's Malchus in this world. And the point being is that we're not able to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus through any physical speech that we do, because that doesn't properly encapsulate Hashem's existence. The only thing that we're able to do that properly expresses Hashem's existence in this Bria is through Tekiyah Shofar. Because what's the significance of Tekiyah Shofar? The Shofar is the Dibur of the Neshama. The word Neshama is a Lashon of Neshima. Neshima means breath or blow. When a person blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what they're doing is they're blowing. The only mitzvah in the entire Torah that requires a breath is mitzvah shofar. Because in mitzvah shofar, what we're doing is that we're blowing from the neshamas, and we're blowing into the shofar if you're in the neshama. So since the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no physical words that we can use to describe it. On the day that Adam was created, we specifically use the specific attribute that Adam was created with that differentiated him from human being from animals to crown Hashem as king. And we use that through the shofar. The shofar is the Dibur Pnimi. It's the expression of the person's willingness to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have any words to express that. So we specifically be Mamlech Hashem through the shofar, because the shofar is the speech that's emanating from the Neshama. Good? Yeah, good. Okay, good. So let's explain some much deeper point. So let's try to understand this. So there's a big idea in the Sefer Yetzirah that there's three fundamental domains or realms that prove Hashem's Achdus. So Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. So Olam is space, Shana is time, and then Nefesh is the person's soul. Nekuzari, the Kuzari is not Makobo any stretch. Nekuzari explains that each of these three different points expresses Hashem's unity or oneness. Let's try to understand the words of the Kuzari. Let's try to understand what this means and how this was relevant to Rosh Hashanah. So the Maral in a bunch of places explains that time and place is essentially the same thing. And we'll try to understand what the Maral means. What does the Maral mean by this? When it comes to time and place are limiting factors, meaning that a person or an object is bound to a specific time in a specific place. So, for example, everyone here that's at the shir is bound by this place, is only able to be in one place at any given time, and he's also only able to exist in one given moment. When we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is limitless, we're referring to the fact that he has no boundaries. There's no limiting factors that restrict him to a specific place or to a specific time. So Hashem is above time and above place. So when it comes to Olam Shan V'Nefesh, Olam Shan V'Nefesh reflect Hashem's Achdus in the sense that Olam and Shana, namely Hashem's control over place and time, shows that Hashem is not bound by these two things. He's limitless. So that reflects Hashem's unity. And we say, Hayah Ho V'Yeva, that he is in the past, present, and future. And that sort of support, right? That the whole point is that Hashem is not right bound by time. So on Rosh Hashanah, though, we have three concepts. We have Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So these three ideas seem to be linked up to these three concepts of Olam, Shana, V'Nefesh. Olam is about space. That's Malchus. So the fact Malchus is very much connected to place. In what sense? So the Maharal explains that Makom is connect. A Malach, by definition, is only able to rule over a place. So the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his control over Makom, over place, which is Olam. The second is Shana. That's connected to Zichronos. Zichronos is all about the fact that Hashem is the Hashkach of Hashem in the history of the world, and it's all about time. So in Rosh Hashanah, we also focus on the aspect of Shana that reflects the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the time, that Hashem's above time and is aware of all the events that occurred in the history of the world. And the third thing is Nefesh, which is Shofar. The Shofar is very much connected to the Nefesh, in the sense that Adam HaRishon, the Zohar teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew life into Adam HaRishon through the shofar. So the midah of Hashem, of the Nefesh, we express through the shofar section of Rosh Hashanah, because the shofar is inherently linked to our Nefesh, that the shofar was what created our Nefashos. And on Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing is we're accepting upon ourselves the fact that Hashem is in control of the Olam Shan V'Nefesh. Because these Olam Shan V'Nefesh are the three ways that Hashem's Malchus is that Hashem's Achdus is expressed in the Bria, Rosh Hashanah, we accept Hashem's control over Olam Shan V'Nefesh. We really do this in Kriya Shema every day, because Kriya Shema, we're saying Hashem Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we say Hashem Elokeinu, we're proclaiming Hashem over and control of our Nefesh. When we say Hashem Echad is, the Echad is the fact that Chazal teach that you're supposed to be married in the Dalit because Hashem is all four directions of the world, and also Hayyavo, past, present, and future. So when a person does Kabbalah Sama Chushimim every day, a person is accepting upon the fact that Hashem is God in both the past, present, and future, and over the entire world, and the fact that Hashem controls the Olam, the braids in control of place and time. And Rosh Hashanah, the Sama explained that Rosh Hashanah is like a super Kabbalah Sama Chushimim. When you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we're accepting Hashem's Malchus. So on Rosh Hashanah, we're accepting Hashem's Malchus. We're accepting his control over place. The fact that his Malchus exists in the entire Bria. We're accepting the fact that Hashem is Melech over time. That he's a king in the past. He's a king in the present. He's a king in the future. And we're also accepting him as our king. Right? We're all in control of the Nefesh. So let's explain this point a little bit deeper. So the Shulchan Aruch points out that we find these three concepts of Olam Shana V'Nefesh in Gan Eden. So Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. And the Shulchan Aruch explains that there's a specific connection between Olam Shana V'Nefesh to Adam's creation in Gan Eden. So the Shulchan Aruch explains the place, that Adam was specifically placed in Gan Eden. And Chazal teach, the Gemara Chagiga teaches that Adam HaRishon expanded from, was from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So Adam was essentially encompassed the entire existence of the world. Two, Chazal teach that Adam was Nitzchi, he was eternal. He wasn't bound by time, because he lived forever. And then three, Chazal teach in Medrash Tanchuma that all the nefashos of the Jewish people were contained within Adam HaRishon. So essentially, Adam HaRishon's existence in Gan Eden was reflective of the Olam Shan V'Nefesh. And as we explained a few weeks ago, the purpose of Adam in this world was to create the chibors, to create the connection between upper worlds and the lower worlds. The Adam was the expression of God's existence in this world. So when Adam was expanded, it was from one world to the other, and Adam was eternal, it's expressing the fact that Adam was completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal and Adam's connected to him, then they're also able to be eternal. And once, in the same way Hashem's existence is everywhere in the entire world, so to Adam it was from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So what happened though? Adam Rishon sinned. Right? Adam Rishon sinned, so he lost. Hashem says the Chazal teach Hashem was Mamai is Kuma. He wasn't as big as he was anymore, and he lost the ability to be eternal because he brought death into the world. Now he wasn't completely connected to Hashem. So in Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar because we're trying to get back to that state of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. When Adam HaRishon was demonstrating the complete control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Olam Shana V'Nefesh, over time and place in the existence of Adam himself. So the point being, Rav Hartner explains that the significance of the mitzvah of shofar is that the mitzvah of shofar has the ability to take something that has been diminished and bring it back to its original form in creation. And he cites many different examples of this. And for example, at the Har Sinai, we were given the luchos, but the luchos were broken. And Chazal teach that once the luchos were broken, forgetfulness was brought into the world. So Asi Lavo, when the shofar is going to be sound, they talk about the fact that all the Torah that was forgotten is going to be brought back and remembered. So the shofar has the ability to bring something back which has been diminished. Originally, all the Torah was there. Once the luchos were broken, we forgot it and became diminished. The shofar has the ability to bring all the Torah back to its original state. And the significance of that is that the shofar has this ability to take something which has been diminished and bring back to its original form. So on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow shofar, we're trying to bring back the original state of Adam HaRishon, the state of Adam HaRishon when he expanded the entire world, and he is also completely eternal. And that's the significance of our Tekiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. That's what I'm explaining. We're trying to go back to this original state of Adam HaRishon. And Rav Lopiansky also likes to point out that the significance of Mitzvah Shofar is that the Shofar has the ability to connect the upper worlds and the lower worlds, meaning that when a person blows Shofar, as we said earlier, the Shoyosh of the word Neshima, breath in Hebrew, is Neshama. A person is blowing a Shofar from the Neshama. The Zohar teaches this. So the point being is that when a person is blowing from the innermost part of his soul, the Shofar is reaching, we try to blow the shofar, the blast of the shofar is trying to reach out as far as possible, it's trying to connect, reach as many people as possible. So the shofar is essentially connecting the ruchnius part of the person with this world. And that's the chibur between Olam Ha'alyonim and Olam Ha'tachtonim. And it goes back to this whole point that we've been discussing this entire time, that the shofar has the ability, that the shofar is really the speech of the neshama proclaiming Hashem as king, because our physical speech can't do that. Only an instrument which is ruchni, only the shofar, which is a kli, which projects divine speech, is able to actually be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this vein, so let's try to understand what Chazal teaches. So Chazal, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah teaches that why we say malchus zichonos and shofos. Why do we say malchus zichonos and shofos in Rosh Hashanah? So malchus kadei shetamlichu ne'alechem, that malchus, know that we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zichronos, in order that our zichronchem go up, in order that Hashem is mailer, our zichronos latova, evema, the shofar. That the shofar, Chazal teach that the shofar has a dual aspect. On one hand, it's mamlech, coronates Hashem as our king. On the other hand, the shofar also brings up our zichronos to him for good. So let's try to understand these words of Chazal, how the shofar has the capability of both being a Mamlech that's able to coordinate Hashem's king. It also has the ability to bring up our zichronos from to good. So the Ramban explains that. What's the difference between Tekiya and Trua? So Tekiya, the Ramban says, is Midas Harachman. It's a straight blast. Hirsch explains that Tekiya is a lotion of taka, that you're trying to make something permanent, right? Taka means like you're banging into the ground, that you're trying to make something permanent. When it comes to the Malchus of Rosh Baruch, when we build the Tekiya, the point is that we're trying to make it something that's like etched into the Metzius of the world, that we're just trying to leave a mark. Now, Trua, the Ramban explains, is a Midas Hadin, right? It's the cry, right? It's broken blasts. Rav Hirsch explains that the shorish of the word Trua is Resh Ayin Ayin, which means like broken pieces. And the point being is that when we blow the Trua, it's the cry towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. So essentially what we're doing is that we're blowing both at the Kiyah, which is the Midas HaRachamim, and the Trua, which is the Midas HaDin. So when we said earlier, how is it that the shofar has the ability to both be Mamlech Hashem and also bring our zichronos for him to good? So essentially, the purpose of the tekiya is to be Mamlech Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's existence is just unity, is one, is unity. So therefore, we blow a tekiya because the tekiya is just one straight blast. The same way Hashem's achdus, his unity, is reflected in the fact it's just one straight thing. And then we also blow Trua, because Trua is the kol tefillah of what we're doing with the shofar. The Trua is the broken notes, which is reflective of the fact that we're in time of need, or a time of desperation, and we need our zichronos to go up for good. So the tekiya essentially is the blast, which is Mamlech Hashem, and the trua is the blast, which is the kol tefillah that's emanating from the shofar. Does that make sense?
Why is tekiya like more rachamim? Like why something longer?
Because the point being is that it's a straight blast, and it's reflective of the fact that when it comes to Hashem's existence, Hashem is Echad, his unity is one. So we blow one straight blast. Whereas when it comes to Trua is broken, right? It's something broken. And that's our cry towards, that's our cry towards him. Because really, I guess let's frame it maybe in a different context. Right? We explained earlier that from the Sassanis, that Tekiya, the significance of that is that it's the world of Adam Harishon before he sinned. Trua is this world, and Tekiya is we're trying to get back to the next world. Tekiya is really the state which the world is meant to be in. That's the blast that properly encapsulates what Hashem wants. That's the Midas HaRachamim. Midas HaDin is not the way that Hashem wants to run this world. That's the Trua, that's the broken blast, that's the Metzius that we're currently in. But we're trying to go back to that one. The Midas HaRachamim, when it's just about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence in the world, when there's no sin, trying to get back to the ultimate Tekiya. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. But Chazal specifically relate to Rosh Hashanah, we call it a Yom Trua. We don't relate to it as a Yom Tekiya. We relate to it, the Torah calls it, sorry, Yom Trua, and we call it Yom HaZikaron in our Tefillos. Because as the Ramban explains, Rosh Hashanah is really about the Midas Hadin, it's really about the Trua and not about the Tekiya. But since we can't be Mekatzis and Tekiya, since we're not able to differentiate between the Midas HaRachem and Midas Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to blow both Tekiyos and Truos. So essentially, Rosh Hashanah is all about the Trua, and we cloak the Trua in the Tekiya. And let's try to explain this point, because this is a very fundamental point that the Ramban's making. Again, it's obviously a very Kabbalistic point. Let's try to understand this. And Tzadok HaKohen explains that the significance of the Kol Shofar is that the Kol Shofar is the call, it's the cry from the Jew that is lost, or essentially, right, it's the cry of the Jew that's lost, that he has no words to say, that only the Shofar blast is able to leave, or to emanate from him, meaning that sometimes in life, when a person doesn't have any words that can properly encapsulate his feelings, his desperation, only the Kol Shofar, which is really the Rav Sari, is very beautiful. Lashon is very beautiful. He explains it very beautifully, that the Kol Shofar is really the cry of a Jew from the most inner depths of his soul, as a cult field towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rosh Hashanah is really about the fact that it's as much as we're trying to crown Hashem as king on the day, but when we blow the shofar, when we blow the kol trua, when we blow this kol of tefillah, the significance is that we're showing the fact that we have no one to rely upon other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's our realization that there's nothing other than Hashem, and we all have to rely on Him. So the kol shofar, the significance of the tefillah, of the kol shofar, is that we realize that we have no words that we could properly emanate from our mouths that's able to reflect what we're feeling. It's only the kol shofar that's penetrating from the innermost recesses of our heart that's able to actually penetrate Shemayim and Hashem will listen to that tefillah. That's Tzadok has a very beautiful formulation, a very beautiful Lashonos there. Anyway, back to our holding. Okay, so but I guess the question though is what are you supposed to be feeling though when we hear the kol shofar? We're talking about all sorts of lofty ideas about what the significance of the kol shofar is, but yeah, it's not necessarily so practical to think about all these ideas when we hear it. So let's try to understand just about one point about the kol shofar that we're supposed to focus on when we hear the kol shofar, and how it's relevant to everything that we just said. So the Rambam explains that the significance of the shofar is that it's a call for people to wake up from their slumber. That it's people are asleep, and we need the shofar in order to wake us up from our sleep. Now, let's try to understand the significance of this Rambam. So the Meiri explains that the reason why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah is that Hallel is Shira V'Simcha. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Hachna. Hachna is literally translated in English as what? Submission?
Humility.
Humility, right? Rosh Hashanah is a day of humility. It's not an appropriate day for saying Hallel. So I was trying to understand this, that Rosh Hashanah is a day of humility, and therefore we can't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. So the Shem Yishmol, for example, explains that the significance of the Kol Shofar, the Yishami and Tainus explains that the Kol Shofar is us crying out like an animal, meaning that on Rosh Hashanah, we reach such a low state that we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like animals, that we humble ourselves so much. And the significance of this is that Rabbeinu Yonah explains that the first step in the tshuva process is the step of hachna, it's the step of humility. Before a person is able to do tshuva for anything, a person has to make himself contrite, a person has to humble himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara in Sota and Daf Hei explains that the Hashem's Shechina is only able to be shorer, the Hashem's Shechina is only able to rest on a person who's humble. So the Maharal there explains that essentially, that when it comes, well, let's try to understand, why is it that the Shechina is only able to rest on a person's humble? Because humility creates a vacuum in a person that allows Hashem's Shechina to enter, meaning that everything has its place in this world. So this, the same way if you have an empty cup, you can put water in it. When it comes to a human being as well, when a person is full of gaiva, the Shekhinah is not able to enter into the person. Only when a person is empty is the Shekhinah able to enter. In the mitzvah of tshuva, the Rambam explains that the mitzvah of tshuva is connecting back to the Shekhinah. A person is only able to connect back to the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is only able to connect with them when a person is truly humble. So essentially, as the Rambam explains, that Rosh Hashanah is the day that a person is supposed to be reawakened to do tshuva. When a person hears the sound of the shofar, a person is supposed to humble himself, because by being humble, then we're able to actually do tshuva. Because only when a person is humble is a person able to connect back to Hashem, which is the yisoid of the mitzvah of tshuva. And again, as we said earlier, right, Adam HaRishon sinned on Rosh Hashanah, right? The sin that Adam HaRishon did was proclaiming his own self-existence. On Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to fix the chait of Adam HaRishon, and we're trying to negate ourselves towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do that by blowing the shofar and recognizing the fact that we're humbling ourselves through the piercing sound of the shofar, but in a sense, the tikkun for the chait of Adam HaRishon. And it's the start of, as Rabbeinu Yonah writes, the midas hachna, the midah of making a person humble, is the start of the tshuva process. So Rosh Hashanah is not a day of tshuva like Yom Kippur, the Sesame Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is the day that a person is supposed to wake up to do tshuva. So the way a person is supposed to wake up to do tshuva is by hearing the piercing sound of the shofar and humbling himself in front of Hashem. And as we explained earlier from Rav Aaron Kotler, when we say that Hashem's our melech, there's really two aspects to it. On one hand, we're proclaiming Hashem to be our melech, but on another hand, well, it also means that we're becoming his subjects. So when we blow the shofar, it's not as much about proclaiming Hashem as melech, but it's also about us accepting and realizing our potential and our responsibilities in this world. And the way to start that is through the midah of humility. It's through the midah of hachnah. So that's the key midah that a lot of mefarshim emphasize a person's supposed to be feeling when he hears the shofar blasts. As much as it's about the grandeur of Hashem, it's also about a person recognizing his lowliness. And the Meiri even writes, he has a very stark line. He says that anyone who doesn't do tshuva in these days, he says, ain lo chelek b'elokal Yisrael. That person doesn't have a portion in the Jewish God. That person's not really part of the Jewish people if he doesn't do tshuva during these days. Because if a person doesn't wake up with the shofar blasts, then they're not connecting to what the day and what our religion is all about. And then just lastly, so the Marashah, we'll just lastly cite an idea from the Marashah. The Marashah explains that the significance of the shofar is that the shofar, we see that shofar is all about freedom, it's all about chayr. So they blew shofar, for example, when at the Shas Yovel. So who went free during Yovel? All the slaves went free. Where else do we hear the shofar blast? So L'Asid Lavo, when we're all joined, when there's going to be Kibbutz Galios, there's also going to be the sounds of shofar blasts. So let's try to understand these words of the Marashah, that the significance of mitzvah shofar is that it's about proclaiming freedom. So the Maharal explains that true freedom is the dveikus of Hashem, it's about cleaving towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because when a person is truly free, then a person recognizes the fact that only true freedom is the recognition of the connection between Adam and Hashem. So we on Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar as a recognition that we're trying to free ourselves from our Yetzihara, and we're trying to free ourselves from all the blockades and barriers that exist between us and Hashem. So I think that's shot in this idea of the Marashah. Okay, so anyway, to put a long story together for what we've been developing this whole time, is that the significance of the mitzvah of shofar is that it's the dibor that's emanating from the neshama, which on one hand is being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king, on the other hand it's the kol tefillah that's emanating from the neshamas to him, because we can't really physically use any words to cry out in tefillah to him. And when we hear the sound of the kol shofar, it's supposed to reawaken us to do tshuva and humble ourselves in front of Hashem in order to fix the chet of Adam HaRishon. And by doing that, we're going to be able to attach ourselves to Hashem, which is ultimately the true chayrus, the true freedom, in the purpose of Adam, in the purpose of this world. Okay, any questions?